Mark 4, we're gonna go to 35 and 41. Everybody say this, peace, be still. I want to talk about peace tonight. I'm going to do my best to teach because I looked at peace, I Googled peace, and if you've ever had a chance to Google peace, it was over a billion different topics that came up, search results for peace. I say that because it is something apparently everybody's looking for. It's very important that as we get into peace tonight that we separate what is God peace or kingdom peace than what is worldly peace. Some people you may think are peaceful have just mastered taming themselves. Let me say it again. Some people that you may view as they are a peaceful person have just lived long enough to learn how to tame the symptoms. It doesn't mean there's not a war happening. And we need to understand some things as it relates to peace and why it is so imperative to the life of the believer. God is positioning us like never before to experience what he would call in the Gospels an abundant life. Not just, I'm a Christian, I'm doing my church thing. No, God wants to get into your personal life, and he wants to show you just how much he loves you and just how powerful his favor is on your life. Some of you have yet to experience a true blessing from heaven. A lot of the favor that we've experienced, we've been exhausting ourselves, kicking doors open. But there comes a moment when we're surrendered to God that doors open without you having to kick them open. It's not that there's not effort involved, but it's a whole lot easier to work from favor than it is your own strength. And it is imperative that we understand the difference. And so we're going to get into this thing tonight because peace has everything to do with perspective. And so we're going to get into this tonight. So peace be still. Before we even get there, I'm going to deal with something that I wasn't even going to teach on, but I got in the office and we was in prayer. Where's Chris at? We was in prayer. And, hey, man, come down here, Chris. I want you to sit right there. I'd like to feed off your hunger. Sit over here. Let's balance it out. God's got an order. Everybody's sitting over there. Come on. We're going to balance this thing out. And so watch this. Mark 4, he said something during prayer. Those don't know it. We get here at 6:30, the praise team. And how many appreciate the praise team? They're doing a phenomenal job. I personally thought the worship leader tonight was fine. Man. Hey, if you don't know, that's my wife. I said, you better sing. You said something during prayer tonight. We do corporate prayer, and he said, you start talking about Thanksgiving, right? And then he said something about, this is the day that the Lord has made. And when you said that, it triggered me. Because I got to thinking about most of us are living in the day that we've made. And the problem is if you're frustrated, you're only living in the day that you've made. That God not only, and before we even get there, go to Mark 4. Let's just read just for a second, Pastor, and we're gonna pick up. I want you to get something because I'm going to bring you two sides of peace that I want you to begin to pray over, marinate, and then operate in. So watch this.
On that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along.
Isn't that something? First of all, before we even get anywhere else, when God is trying to take you to another side, the first thing you got to do is leave the crowd. I need you to get that. When God is trying to transition you and trying to bring you into a place of maturity, often the first thing that has to happen is your surroundings are going to have to change. You will not grow in an environment that is designed to stunt your growth. The flesh can never be killed, only resisted. We need to get that. There will always be a flesh that you're going to have to keep in check by the Spirit. Every When God created Adam and Eve, everything was perfect. But in the middle of what he called very good, he put a tree and said, don't touch it. Even in perfect fellowship with God, there's something there you're not to touch. Why? It's the only way you can prove he means more. God will keep you at a place to where you have access to a thing, but tell you not to touch it. Because everybody gets sober in jail. It's only in freedom can you judge your freedom. Well, I just did 10 years. I've been sober. You've not been sober. You've been without an option. You don't have an option to do that there. Come on, somebody. You can only judge your growth when you are in a season of permission and freedom. I have access to do a thing, but I'm choosing to not do it. Why? Because my spirit man is calling me to rise. Come on, somebody. Bible says that the what? That the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we're going to get into it. So watch this. He says, leaving the crowd, they took him. Took along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. Now watch, let's pick up here, Pastor Tim.
And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Hush, be still.
And now, I need you to understand two things here. Notice that Jesus did not awake by himself. Notice that he did not use his authority to change any circumstances until the disciples called on him. I need you to get that, first of all, because there's a whole lot of things that you've been looking for God to do, and you haven't really even asked him. Just because he can read your thoughts, he responds to your prayer. There's something about us saying a thing and putting it in the atmosphere. Why? Because this is the day the Lord has made. You got to understand that if you want a better day, you better start making it. You're going to have to create the environment that God wants you to live in. Come on, somebody. If you're tired of living in misery, you need to check how you are creating that day. And so what's happening is here, he says to them, he says, hush, or he says, peace in one version. Be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? This is why Jesus was sleeping. He thought his disciples at this point should have had enough learning and teaching and modeling that they absolutely could speak to the storm. But they didn't. And he says, you have no faith. So he speaks to this wind. Now I want to go back over here just real quick because I'm trying to give you as much Bible as I can. Go to Genesis 1. Swing over there and we're going to go to verse 3. Watch this because this is important. Notice Jesus spoke and said, peace, be still. Everybody say, peace, be still. Now, this is important. Now, watch here. We notice the power of words here. Look at how God starts creating from nothing. He says, look at here. Then God, what? Come on, he didn't think. Then God said. He spoke. There was nobody there to listen but an atmosphere. Let that sit for a second. Nobody was hearing him say anything but an atmosphere. It is important to speak to an atmosphere. And he says here, he says, let there be light. And there was light. I want you to get that tonight. Let there be light, and there was light. And go back, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Swing over real quick to Psalms 118:24. Y'all with me tonight? I want you to stretch your revelatory mind here, because there's something in this. He says, Psalms 118:24, look here. Pastor Tim, go ahead and read.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Look at this. In other words, how does God make a day? He speaks to the day. He speaks to the day. It's not, and you say, well, that's what God does. No. We're created in his image and likeness. The Bible says that power of life and death is in the tongue. Listen, if he's doing it, then we have permission to do it. That's why Jesus said, man, y'all have no faith. He didn't necessarily need to speak. They already had the authority that was given to them to speak. What I'm trying to get us to understand is this is the day that the Lord has made. If you want to start experiencing a different peace in your life, a different clarity, a different understanding, a different motivation, a different hunger, a different appetite, you're going to have to start speaking to your day. Some of us only speak when we're frustrated, and we never speak out of intention.
Come on, Pastor.
And it's time that you start speaking out of intention. Whether you know it or not, your tongue has life and death in it. It has life and death. I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, then why is your relationship so terrible? Because you've been talking crazy. When you're talking crazy, you are creating a reality that you will eventually have to live in. It doesn't take me long to realize why some people are miserable. It takes one conversation. Everything is woe is me and this and that and so and so and so and so and so and so. It's like, I understand that we go through stuff, man, but when are you going to start changing that reality by speaking something different? I love how Paul urges us to know no man after the flesh. Know no man after the flesh. What he's saying is that you need to know them not by the Adamic nature, the fallen Adam, but you need to know them by who Christ says that they are. Don't get familiar with their history that they've been doing in the flesh side, but rather know them by the Spirit and what God is saying over their life. So when we speak to people, we do not speak and encourage all the flesh stuff. Rather, we speak to them on the Spirit level. So I know what they did in the flesh. We don't have to keep regurgitating that. I want to start speaking to their spirit, man, because if they're ever going to change, they're going to have to get intimate with the Spirit. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Take control of your day. Can you say that? I'm going to take control of my day. Come on, I don't hear nobody. I'm going to take control of my day. Amen, somebody. Your Monday don't have to, it don't have to be miserable Monday this week. Woo, it don't have to be miserable and terrible Tuesday and whack Wednesday. I made that one up. It don't have to be that. You can start speaking to that. This week, this Monday can be the beginning of a new favor in your life. This week can be the beginning of a new favor. When you know who you are with God, you know, I don't know. My wife always tells me, she says, I like your walk. You walk like a man. That's what she says. And I do. I think so. I don't think about it when I'm walking. But if I'm going to walk, I want to walk right. And I was at the gym the other day, and this is the reason why I bring this up. This guy comes and says, man, what do you do for a living? I said, why? He says, man, it's just when you come in here, man, it's like you're on a mission. I said, he don't have any idea. When I'm in that gym, I'm trying, the first 20 minutes is me talking myself into actually working out. But my walk is giving it away, you know, because I'm walking like I'm about to work out, but I pass every weight bench with confidence, you know. But my point is there's something about, and the truth is, when I do get to the gym, my mindset is motivated because the only reason I'm there is to get me together. And there's something about a motivated mind that is married to self-improvement that people are attracted to. I'm creating a reality simply by what I'm entertaining here. And it's around me. Some of the favor you're looking for, I'm telling you, you want it externally, it starts internally. It starts internally. There's a whole lot of people that wake up every day that have no belief that anything's going to change. And you could be that one somebody that gets around them and it becomes contagious. speak to your day. I'm telling you this. I'm trying to not just give you a principle, but pastor you tonight. Start speaking to your day. Amen. So let's really, everybody say, peace be still. All right, Philippians 4, we're going to swing over here. One of my favorite passages here. Look at here. We're going to read Philippians 4. I love Philippians because Paul is writing this from prison. This is what I love about this particular book. Paul is writing us in prison, and he's saying things like rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. We're going to go to verse 5 and 6. Swing down just a few. Look at here. Look at verse 4. Pastor Tim, read this. Now notice, now watch this, y'all. He's in prison. I don't know too many people that's locked up. Let's talk about rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I don't know too many people that are locked up that are writing a letter of edification. Most of them are angry, mad. Paul had such a maturity in Christ. We read in Acts where the Bible says they was locked up, Paul and Silas. And y'all remember the story? They was locked up. The Bible says that they started singing and the prison doors were open and everybody that was in there was free. And you want to know the real miracle wasn't the prison doors open, and it's the prisoners not running with their freedom. Paul had every opportunity to get out of prison, but God didn't take the chains off for them to get out of prison just so they could have their own freedom. Paul stays and saves the life of a man that if they would have gotten away, he would have been killed by Rome. And Paul said, no, we're all here. We're all accounted for. Some deliverance that God gives you isn't so you can leave where you're at. There's some things God brings deliverance in your life so that you can maintain a posture right where you're at. And that's the proof that you're free. Oh, I'm going to preach myself happy tonight. So watch this. So let's get into this because this is an amazing, this is probably one of my favorite scriptures here. Let's read.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Yeah. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving.
All right, let's slow down right there. Watch this. Look at this is where it gets dangerous. Be anxious for nothing. Angor is a old French word, A-N-G-O-R, not anger, angor, means to constrict or to tightly squeeze to the point of not breathing. This is where, if you look at the etymology of the word anxious, this is where the root comes from. When you are anxious, you are not breathing. Actually, one of the other terms is to become narrow. Have you ever spoken to a narrow-minded person? They don't have the capability of even entertaining anything outside of what they are thinking. They are narrow-minded. It stops them from learning. This is why this passage starts, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, now watch this. I need y'all to get this. How many want to experience heaven in a new way this week? Now watch. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, this is before we ask God anything. Watch this. Prayer and supplication. What does supplication mean in the Greek? Means to petition. In other words, that's where you ask God for a thing. But notice before you ask God, he puts prayer in front of it. Because they're two separate things. Y'all catching this? I'm going to teach you how to really get some God results in your life tonight. If you'll make these adjustments, you will start seeing things develop in your world a whole lot more. You'll mature a whole lot more. How do you test your maturity? Simple. When you're going through hell, look at how you feel. Nothing in your circumstances has the right to rob you of peace. Nothing in your circumstances has the right to rob you of peace. The absence of peace starts with the absence of prayer. So we're going to talk about peace tonight. Why are we not peaceful people? Peaceful people are not on guard all the time. Gandhi said in one of his books, you can never shake hands with a closed fist. What he's saying is, when you're anxious, you're tight, you're mad, you're angry, life has beat me up, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and you're, for whatever reason, it's very, very difficult for you to find real peace when you're on that side of things. Peace is not just quiet. Peace is not just quiet. There's quiet people that are at war with themselves. As a matter of fact, depression's goal is to get you to suffer silently. People that are depressed, when depression has its full work, you begin to stop speaking. And you suffer silently. Depression is not being sad. Depression is a spirit. I don't know if you've ever been depressed. It's completely different than some things just went bad and I'm sad. Depression is a spirit that hovers over you, and it does not even allow you to sleep it away. It gets in you subconsciously to where even when you go to sleep, that thing is weighing on you. Depression is a slow killer. Depression is bad for your health. It's not just something that you're dealing with because of circumstances. Depression is when whatever happened to you has now convinced you of a thing. Depression isn't just a circumstance that went south. Depression is the enemy working through a disappointment. And he begins to teach. Depression is often like offense. It doesn't just stay in one place. It demands an audience. And it starts teaching. And you start seeing things from your offense. This is where imbalance happens with people. They cannot weigh things properly. They see enemies everywhere. Why? Because they have been learning from offense. Depression is the same way, and it will not stop until you are completely silent and you suffer. It'll give you a little bit of hopes. There's hopes, but you got to cure yourself. That's how it gets you trapped. Because you're thinking, I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to wake up, get out of it. No, you're not. The only way for you to get out of depression is to lean and trust. Trust the Father. And when we trust the Father, he'll send relationships to us that are designed to break off of us that evil thing. You hear me? There's certain people that have a mantle on their life that when you get around them, the presence and the anointing that's on them, it will start to literally cause conflict with whatever issues that you have. Because of the things that they're entertaining, you start getting close to these people, and all of a sudden you'll start seeing that what's on them is literally coming against what's on you. You'll feel it, and it's a God thing. God never delivered anything in the Bible without a person. Man, when God wanted to fix the world, he used a womb. Y'all here tonight? Ooh, I'm trying to teach. Come on now. Look at this. Be anxious for nothing. I want to sit here for just a second. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now here's the next verse. And everybody read this with me. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See how peace comes? Be anxious. Go back up. We're talking about peace. He says, be anxious for nothing. What is the killer to you operating in a life of peace? Anxiousness. Anxiousness causes pressure. We get anxious because the truth is, and I wrote this down, write this down if you're taking notes. This is important. Anxiousness comes from a lack of trust and contentment. When we do not fall in love, watch this, with the plan of God for our lives, you will try to get out ahead of God's timing. And you will start to feel, when you are out of sync with the timing of God, you will start to feel unnecessary things in your psyche. Today, just for a brief moment, I went to the store. I was going to get some chicken. I'm learning how to cook this lemon chicken. It's good too, y'all. Come on. It brings me peace that passes understanding. And so I went and got this chicken. And for a brief, I had a brief moment to where I was walking down the aisle and I started to feel heavy. I mean, it came out of nowhere, Mama. Like, I was just like, what is this? And I heard the Holy Spirit said, whip that, whip that. So I started just, why did I start feeling heavy? Why did I start feeling heavy? I couldn't even remember what thought made me feel heavy. But for a moment, I had a brief thought about something that was rooted in disappointment, and that thing started to weigh on me. Everything changed in my psyche. I was like, man, I was about to call Shawnee and say, prepare a word tonight, you preach. Because it literally brought up all of these feelings that I have concerning whatever that was. And then I had to trace it. I said, Holy Spirit, what was it? What was it? And I went back to that. And when I went back to that thought, I said, my God, that's been 15 years. Holy Spirit, I'm new creation. That ain't even me no more. As soon as I took authority over that thing, boom, it dissipated. And then here I am again, back at peace. Aisle 9, looking for my lemon chicken. But see, you have to confront the enemy. The church is getting too comfortable with thinking there's no enemy. There is an enemy trying to sift you. And just like you have angels on assignment, you better believe that there's demonic assignments on your life. You're not just waking up feeling the way you're feeling all the time. There is demonic assignments to distract you. If you got any worth in the kingdom, you better believe that the spirit of darkness is trying to get you off course. You know how the enemy starts to delay what God wants in your life? Look at Luke 4 when Jesus is walking. He comes out, the Bible says he comes out of the water, they hear a voice from heaven. He says, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. Jesus had done no miracles. He didn't have to work for approval. He worked from it. He hadn't done anything right now that God could say, look, he did it finally, now I'm pleased. No, he started from the approval of his father. That's sonship. Soon as he gets done, the Bible says the spirit, not the devil, the spirit leads him in the wilderness. He goes into the wilderness. He gets tempted by the enemy. He's fasting. It's one thing to be tempted by the enemy, but it's one thing to be hungry and tempted by the enemy. I failed a fast. Listen, my wife and I said we're going to fast this week. So I started Monday. Yo, I was good, man, for the first. No, listen, man, I made it. I made it to what, 6 o'clock? Well, so listen, I'm just telling the truth. Listen, so we had Sunday, we had grilled some wings. Now, Marcus, you know them wings on the grill, charcoal wings are different. They hit different. And they're sitting in the fridge. I figured that's my tree to not touch. If I keep it in there, and I look at it every time I open up the fridge. I'm going to get stronger in the spirit. So I left it in there. And I'm doing good, man. I went to the gym. Shawnee's like, just drink black coffee. It didn't do a thing. And she's a pro faster. A pro faster. I'm an amateur faster. And I was good till about 5 o'clock, and I started feeling that, oh boy, them wings, man. I was like, man, that boy got the scent of charcoal on it. And I go upstairs, and I just felt like I got a word from the Lord. I was like, oh, good. Well, I got what I needed. No time to eat, right? And I went upstairs. I asked KK, my daughter, I said, where's Mama? Oh, she went shopping. Okay, so I know that means I got an hour. Now, I go and I put those three wings, because, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I put them on the plate. I put them in the microwave. I turn on my Mandalorian, because I got to catch up on Mandalorian. I'm like, okay, this is a good night. I got a word from the Lord. Mandalorian got a new episode. I got three wings. Shawnee is not in the house, so I ain't going to feel the condemnation. So I was like, you know, I'll throw the bones away real quick, right? I had a plan. You know, the Bible says many are the plans of man, but the purpose of God prevail. I kid you not, y'all. I was on the chair. I bit into that scrumptious wing. I hear that door open in the kitchen. I'm like, I was sitting there, and I didn't have time to do nothing with this plate, y'all. I'm like, I know this is not your chandelier behind me. Sure enough, she comes, she says, oh, my God. I said, what are you doing? Kay said you was gone. I was hungry, man. I said, I was hungry. I said, babe, I heard the Lord already. No. I said, I'll start over tomorrow. So I got through Tuesday, most of the day Tuesday. Yes, I ate after 12 midnight. That's the day. Gary, help me, man. So it's y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get this fasting thing down. That's why you ain't ever heard me preach on fasting. I don't preach on what I don't have a revelation on. I'd be hungry. What was I talking about? I'm getting hungry right now. All right. So be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God and the peace of God, right? Everybody say, and the peace of God. So here's the thing. When the enemy is trying to get to you, the first thing that he would do, and this is important that when Luke 4, when Jesus gets there, what did the enemy do? First thing he did was offer him something to eat. Jesus was already done with the fast, though. So Marcus, he could have eaten. But he didn't because of who was serving it. He had the freedom again to do a thing. Come on, somebody. You better be careful what dinner table you're pulling up on. Because when God's changing you, he starts with your appetite. And so it's really important to understand. And so what happens is we get to this point to where Jesus is talking to him. And he says, I'll give you the key. I'll give you everything. The purpose of Christ coming was to get everything, right? The problem was God was going to give him everything in the timing that he was going to give it to him. That's where we're messing up. That's where we're messing up. We think the devil only comes with drugs and abuse and relationship dysfunctions. No. He starts with favor. You have to have enough maturity to know that's not mine yet. Because you will mismanage what you are not prepared for. Your journey is essential in helping you manage the favor. Favor is not a gift. It's a responsibility to be stewarded. So is this okay tonight? I'm feeling good. See, it just switched. I feel that. I don't know if you guys can sense that stuff in the spirit. I can feel when I'm pulling y'all, then I can feel like, okay, now we're going. Just something you can feel. I don't know if it's from here. but it's something I can feel. So anxiousness comes from a lack of trust and contentment. When we are not content with where God has you, you have to quit comparing yourself to anybody else. You are not in their journey or their cycles. It is foolish. You did not start with the same cards. It is absolutely foolish. Well, Pastor Gail's got this. That don't mean you ain't went through what Pastor Gail went through. Well, so-and-so, I can't say, give me what you're giving T.D. Jakes. I'm not T.D. Jakes. Comparing ourselves to people is the first sign that you are not content with your journey. Again, God's not just ordering steps, he's ordering pace. Purpose has a speed limit. You got to learn to walk at the speed. It's every step of a righteous man. One of the things I love about my wife is every time I go walking in a parking lot now, y'all, I'm looking for money. Because this woman spots money all the time walking. People drop money and Shawnee's going to see it. Well, since then, I've learned, like, listen, so we go to this park, you know, when you get in your 40s, you're going to definitely be walking around parks, trust me. And we go to this park, and usually I like to jog. Today was blazing hot, but usually I like to jog, but I never pay attention at the same level when I'm moving faster. When I'm walking, I'm more alert, which is maybe the reason why steps are ordered. Because it's not just about where you're going. It's about creating an awareness in the journey that you're on, because there's things in that journey that are specifically there. Everybody say, God hides stuff for me, not from me. He puts things in place that is in alignment with your journey. And the only way to get there isn't just to pray that you get it, is to actually be in agreement with his will for your life. Prayer and petition. Man, this is good tonight. He says here, it says, be anxious for nothing, because I can't get off this. Hard. Anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, what does supplication mean? Petition. You want to write that down, especially those of you developing in Christ. Petition is what you ask God for. But he's saying here, what you ask God for is going to change if you're praying correctly. Why? Because what does prayer do? Prayer realigns us to the will of God for our life. Yo, you may say, man, I want this right now because it's going to be easier if I do this or that or this, that. That's cool. I'm glad. That's cool that you want it. Praise the Lord. Does he want it though? You may not thrive in an environment that's more comfortable. What makes you the leader you're supposed to be is the pressure that you're learning to bear. You absolutely need the pressure. Don't nobody go to the gym and start seeing results without benching weight. It's weight that develops you in repetition with it. Learning to create form with weight. Come on now. Learning to steward yourself with a mindset that is productive. If you're really serious about change, these principles matter. Now, some people, unfortunately, it's the way life is. At 43, I've seen a lot in church. Some people will sit up under the most anointed preaching and teaching ever, and will live their entire life in misery because they never put into practice the principles that they had access to. That's why there's so many that are called, but few are chosen. Man, I'm trying. If I was to do a leadership business meeting right now and bring people in, half of my church would show up. Why? Because most people don't think of themselves as ever, they can't see themselves as being successful in business. You've already defeated yourself by the mindset you're entertaining. It's amazing how we will save up our money to go on a vacation but never go to a conference to better ourselves. Come on, somebody. You want some of the things that we ask for. God, send me a man. Good. He's saying, send me a helpmate. Which means you got to start doing something with you. Don't no man want somebody ain't doing nothing with their life? Come on, fellas, give me a low. Come on. It's a relationship. You want to be compatible with somebody walking in purpose. You don't want to have to get married to nobody. Do you dragging them the whole time? Come on, somebody. This okay? And I'm not beating you up. This is stuff to encourage you. To grow, grow, grow. I'm telling you, whatever you think about yourself that's not in alignment to God's will, it's time to start. This is the day. I'm going to start speaking this. I'm going to start watching my day change. Amen, somebody. So watch this. Just real quick. Swing over here to Matthew 26, 40, 42. Watch this. Another principle. I'm going to make a series of this. Where's Dorian at? He already told me I was going to have to do it. Okay. Look at here. Watch this, Pastor Tim. This is Jesus. He's getting ready to be betrayed, right? This is the worst weekend ever for him. It all comes down to this moment. Everything he was teaching, it all comes down to this moment. He's getting ready to feel the severity of abandonment. He's getting ready to feel the pain of betrayal. The brutal whip, the nails, the accusations, you know, and he's completely innocent. And he's getting ready to experience the hatred of humanity, the evil of humanity. This is a very, very serious prayer, guys. He's in the garden praying. He's in the garden praying. This prayer has to work. Why? Because he's going to need the strength of the Father to be able to endure all of this. So watch. This is what he says. Because his disciples, he's praying and his disciples over here on the hill. Watch what Jesus says.
He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done."
Woo! Look at that. If this cannot pass away, in other words, if at all possible, let this cup pass, but if not, thy will be done. This is what's crazy. Go back up to verse 41 there for me. I want to pull out one thing. Look here. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, "Keep watching and praying." Now, there's that word prayer again, "that you may not enter into temptation." Now, this is critical because we're talking about peace. And I just told you that peace comes through prayer, as prayer adjusts us to the reality of God, to the timing of God. Where does your peace come from? You being in alignment with God's intentions for your life. Because it's peace he's given passes understanding. If the only time you're peaceful is when you understand stuff, that means you're still in control. You're still in control. Say it again. I like that.
Oh, my God.
I love it. That's better than amen. Because that's the goal. It's like in the kingdom, see, in the natural world, peace is us having everything that we need in place, right? Relationships doing good, finances are good, got the raise, got the car, got all the stuff that we want. Everything, how you doing? Man, I'm doing good today, right? Yeah, and then until something goes haywire, then all of a sudden your peace is gone because it was temporary, it was based off circumstances, right? But in the kingdom, all hell can break loose and your peace doesn't waver. It doesn't waver. Because you've learned how to live life relinquishing control. God can do more with a yielded person than he can a talented person. Good stuff tonight. He says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter. That's it right there. That you may not enter into temptation. What's the temptation, though? Look at the next verse. It says, my Father, look it. If this cannot pass away unless I drink. What is he talking about? He's saying, he's in the garden saying, man, I know I got to go to the cross. It's in his head, y'all. He's getting ready to die a crucial, painful death of suffocation. And he's getting ready to do it in front of everybody. He's getting ready to look like a fool in front of everybody. He raised the dead, and he can't stop in their minds this from happening. And he's in the garden. He's like, man, there's got to be another way. We always ask God, there's got to be another way, right, when we're supposed to do what he's saying it's time to do. It's one thing when it's a promise. It's another thing when now it's a reality. Right? And he says, God, there's got to be another way. What's the temptation? He said, pray and watch that you don't enter temptation. The temptation is avoiding the necessary plan of God to bring death to your flesh. If you ain't praying, you are not ready to walk out the necessary season that's designed to kill your flesh. This is the gospel of Christ. I don't know nothing about that other stuff some of these jokers out here preaching. I know the gospel of Christ, and it is to deny yourself. And it is so imperative that we understand prayer is our access, guys. It's our access. James 4, just real quick. I'm going to go there and I'm done. I promise you. Promise you. Look here, James 4. Watch this. We're going to read the NIV. This been all right tonight? Come on, everybody say peace. Be still. Okay, look. Let's read James 4. Swing over there. All right, Pastor Tim, let's read.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?
Mm-hmm.
You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God.
Right there. Look at that. You do not have because you do not ask. Y'all catch that? Well, how do we ask? Well, Paul just told us. He said prayer and petition. You do not have because you do not ask. How do you ask? Prayer aligns me, changes what I'm asking for. Petition. You do not have because you do not ask. In other words, what he's saying, and just finish that just real quick. Go back there. Just finish what you said, and then I'm going to close it out.
You do not have because you do not ask.
When you ask, verse 3 there.
When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives.
Woo!
That you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
Come on. Read it again, Tim.
When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
See, this is the problem with only understanding hope. Some Christians are strong in hope, but hope is not a Christian word. You need to get this. Hope isn't this sanctified word just because it's in the Bible. Hope simply means you are putting your hope and expectation in something. The problem with hope, if it's not attached to faith, I'm not talking about the type of faith that you think that you're just believing for a thing. I'm talking about faith that's rooted in the will of God. If hope is not aligned to God's intentions for your life, you could be hoping for the wrong thing. You could be hoping for the wrong thing. It's so much of our faith, we try to use faith to handcuff God into doing what we want him to do. Why? Because fear is motivating what we're asking for. God, deliver me. Why? Because I don't have the faith to go through that. What if going through that's the only thing that delivers you? Whew. Some of us don't see clearly until we die. Half the battle is getting people to perceive what they have been blind to in their struggles. It's hard as a pastor because I can see people that are going through. I'm like, man, this is all, if you do this, but they can't see it. They can't see it because all they see is the World War III that is around them and in them. And look at what he says here. He says that you may spend it on what you get on your pleasures. Whew. Your pleasures. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. The verse before it, you're not receiving because you're not asking. This tells me, how do we ask? Prayer and petition. How do I get what God wants for my life? Man, y'all, I'm so glad that God isn't moody. I'm so glad that there's nothing I can do to get him in a good mood to say, you know, you are right. You do need that Corvette. You know what? Go ahead and get it. You don't make enough for it. It's going to keep you broke all month. Hey, but you're going to look good. I'm so glad that God is not persuaded by our crying. I'm so glad that he is a true father that loves us while we are in despair, but is mature enough to never give us what we can't manage. Woo-wee. Woo-wee. Pastor, this is too much month for the money right now. What are you spending it on? God's provided everything that you need. You just put a whole lot of stuff in your life that you do not need. You got enough to be blessed. You just got way too much stuff on your pleasure side. That's a good word. You got to recognize your season, guys. If you're in a season of sacrifice, sacrifice. Don't look at anybody else's liberties. Sacrifice. Because God has you on a journey. You better believe that he loves you enough to have a specific journey designed for you. And I promise you, there will come a time when you want that, God says, yeah, it's yours. He actually cares about that stuff. He actually cares. I'll never forget, and I'm closing up. That's my last closing. Preachers get three. We had a house. My wife and I was, y'all ever been house hunting? Lord Jesus. Listen. You gotta really pray for patience because you'll start liking a house. You'll be like, yeah, you'll bid on that boy, and someone will come in with $75,000 cash. What? Who got that? You know, and put it down or pay. They'll give a cash offer. And you done got your hopes up. You was praying, and I was going to say fasting, but y'all know I don't. And so you was doing what you needed to do. And get up the next morning, and the loan officer, nope, house sold. Or whoever Tiffany's got us talking to, household. Like, oh, man, so we finally found this house. Tiffany takes us. She's a real estate agent, you know, takes this house over on 12 Mile. And I thought it was sweet. It was sweet. Nice house, big old beautiful lawn. And, you know, where we was living, I was like, this is a, you know, moving on up, you know. I was like, let's go. I was geeked, man. I had all my people over. I had Pastor Tim come over. I was like, yeah, this is the new crib, man. Because they approved us. Like it was a go. All we had to do was sign the papers. They're like, sure. I was geeked. When I tell you we had the biggest fight at the house that night, here comes Shawty. I just feel like God's got something better. Surely we've been doing this for 6 months. That house is good. I had Brandon come over and look at the roof, and Brandon knows roofs. Like, you know, I had a... He said, God's got something better. It was bad. I had to walk around the block. And because you don't realize how hard it is to find a house. It's hard. And you're competing with people who have more than you. And so I'm like, man, come on, God. Man, talk to Shawnee, Jesus. Like, Talk to my wife, God. That's the real miracle. You can raise people from the dead. Can you talk to my wife right now? Get there, man. She says, God's got something better. And so, that's how it translated to me. God's got something better. And I was mad. We had a good fight. And I was just like, man, this is just, I don't want to do it no more. I said, we're going to stay right here. And I ain't cleaning or nothing. And I kid you not, she comes home and she says, I want us to go look at this house. I'm like, oh, I ain't doing it, but, you know, I'm going to do it. So we get in the car and we go to a brand spanking new house that's way bigger than the one I want. Now, I'm walking in there like, you remember how I felt, babe? I was like, there ain't no way God's giving us this. Like, she's going to, in my heart, I was thinking, this is how I'm going to get her. Because when we go put that thing down, they're gonna say, nope. And I'm like, I told you we should have got that house, right? But no, that's not what happened. We put in our bid. We get the call a few days later. They accept the offer. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm never going to hear the end of this. Because this house is way better than the house we was looking for. And I'm like, man, my wife got a relationship with God like a mug. Like, I was like, you got something real over there. You know, Pastor Shawnee hears from God. But at that moment, my anxiety was going crazy because I was like, man, this is what I want over here. And I was getting ready to settle for something. And God wanted to bless us with something way better. In my anxiousness, I was like, man, let's just get this spot. She was like, no. It taught me something about God. Like, I'm going to give you what you want if you're postured right for this. And I kid you not, my wife could say anything right now, and I'm like, man, that's God. she hear God. You know, because it taught me to never allow anxiousness to get in front of God's intentions for my life. God does care about the little things. Amen? So, moral of everything tonight, posture yourself in the will of God. Embrace your season. Embrace your season. Your season's not his season or her season. Your season is your season. All right, embrace it. Embrace the pace, the timing. If you're not saying no on a weekly basis, you have not embraced the timing of God. Say it again. If no is not in your vocabulary, you're still not walking in purpose. I've said it before. No is a complete sentence. You don't have to add none to it. When God is maturing, you know will become a lot more common than your yeses. It's not to be mean. You're focused. You want to go out and eat tonight? Nope. Why? You don't have to tell me that. But you know that that's money right now. This money's going here. God's got me here. I'm diligent here. I'm focused here. This is what I know I'm supposed to be doing here. When you get through that season, then God will start adding more. Faithful over little makes you what? Ruler over much. Let's stand to our feet. This okay tonight?